The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
To go on this journey of fasting together, and there's a couple of things that you need to do. If you haven't already done so, there's a sign-up sheet in the back. I'd encourage you to put your name, print, and your email address. If we already have your email address, I don't need it, but there's a roster back there, and if your name is on the roster, we don't need it. If it's not on the roster, we do need your email address, because I'll be sending out some words of encouragement, hopefully for you, during the 21 days of fast. It won't be every day, but some days I will. But for every day, we have, somebody hold one of those things up. Yeah, one of those. Did everybody get one of these that's going to be fasting? Yes, you did? Okay, good. It's one day. Don't read the whole thing through. Just read it one day at a time, sweet Jesus, okay? So that it'll encourage you, some scriptures, some practical information, and other things that you will need during the 21-day fast. Also, in the front part of that, there's some information about fasting, the different kinds of fasts you can do. When we've done this in the past, some people elected to do a 40-day fast. And so we've had that happen on several occasions. Some have elected to do the first 3 days of the fast with no food and just water. Some elected to just do liquids. But what we're suggesting is a Daniel fast. And a Daniel fast is no pleasant foods, and pretty much anything that you like, don't eat. Anything that you hate, eat it. No meat, no of any kind, fish, that kinds of thing. But there is a suggested menu, if you will, of things in that document to help you get some ideas. Peanut butter is good. Anything green that grows, with the exception of pot, would be good. Well, you never know, they're doing stuff. You never, just in case somebody thinks that that's a good thing. So no pot, but beans of every imaginable kind. Some of you think that you will die if you don't have your meat and potatoes. You will not die. We have not lost anyone due to fasting. Okay, everyone has managed to survive. Here's my solemn word to you. If you die from this fast, I will do your funeral at no charge. Okay? So, and I won't cry over you because I know where you are, right? So you'll be safe in Father's house. But it's not going to kill you. It's going to do good for you. Fasting is not for your detriment. Fasting is for your betterment, okay? So that's why we're doing this. And I mentioned to you earlier, we're going to be praying. When did I say we were going to pray? It's going to be when? 7 p.m. Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Okay, good. I forgot. It just slipped my mind for a moment. How many of you have read this book, Fasting, by Jensen Franklin? Three of you. The rest of you are suffering from lack of knowledge. Go get this book. It's available anywhere. There is a sequel to this book, which is called The Fasting Edge. And it's pretty much everything that's in that book. The big difference about this book is we have some copies here. So if you want a copy, they're in the back. I think we have 4 or 5 copies. If you'd like to have a copy of this, they were originally selling for $10, but we're putting them on special during the fast for $10, okay? So if you want one, they're $10, they're in the back. Either one of these books are really great. But Jensen Franklin is, just by way of testimony, Jensen happens to come on the TV when I'm getting dressed to come to church. So I'm usually listening to him. And every January, for years, Jensen would talk about his church doing a 21-day fast. I'm not into fasting. You know, it's just not my thing. I do fast on occasion, but 21 days is just way beyond anything I would do. And I listened to him for years. And I started thinking, well, you know, if he's doing it, you know, maybe there's something to it. And so I began to pray about it. And as I prayed about it, I felt it was something that we as a church should do. And so in 2009, we did our first fast. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. That's right, this is our 10th year. I could do that on two hands if I had to, but I had to just count them on one hand, all right? So, you know, it looked like an impossible thing to do, but we did it the first year, and it's been a joy to do every year since then. It's a great way to start the year. And the nice thing about it, because Jensen Franklin is on TV, and a lot of other folks have joined in, the last number I heard, and Bob mentioned it last week, somewhere in excess of 500,000 people will be fasting with us. So we're not alone. So when you feel hunger pains and you get a pity party and you think you can't go on, remember that there are 500,000 other people who feel the same way, okay? So that's a time to pray for others as well as yourself and to continue on. This is not about a legalistic fast. I give you the license to do what you can do. If you're sick and you're on medication and you feel it would not be good for you, then don't do the total fast. If your doctor tells you not to, don't do it. But you might talk to your doctor. He or she would probably say, because of the Daniel fast, it would be good for you, especially those of you who could lose a little fluffiness. You know, it might do you some good to lose a little fluffiness. You're not fasting to do that, but you will lose weight, all right? And your body is going to detox as you get off of things that you love, like chocolate and candy and sugar and all those things. Your body's going to go through a process, and the journal is designed to help you each day, reminding you some physical things that will take place. Jensen Franklin talks about that in great length. In fact, I want to read you a little excerpt from Jensen's book. It's just brief, but I was perusing it myself. And he said, the question usually comes from someone with a genuine desire for deeper intimacy with the Lord and knowledge of God's perfect will. For me, fasting has been the secret to obtaining open doors, miraculous provisions, favor, and the tender touch of God upon my life. He goes on to say, when I feel myself growing dry spiritually, when I don't sense the cutting edge anointing, or when I need a fresh encounter with God, fasting is a secret key that unlocks heaven's doors and slams shut the gates of hell. And that is probably more true than anything else I can think of. The fast is not to twist God's arm and say, oh, look at me, how good I am, I'm fasting, so because I'm fasting, you're going to do this for me. No, the object of fasting is to shed some of the trappings of the world and to focus on something spiritual. What I would recommend, and Jensen recommends it in his book, that when you are fasting and you feel lightheaded, you feel hungry, you feel you can't go on, that's the time to press in spiritually and to worship the Lord and praise Him. And so use the trigger of your body's desire for food to trigger a time of worship. And so then you begin to focus on God, focus on the things of the Spirit. And after you do this for 21 days, you'll realize a major change. I read a book many years ago called Psycho-Cybernetics. Anybody read that book, Psycho-Cybernetics? Yeah, Ms. Patch read it. It's one of the better books that I read. It's a secular book. But it says in there that it takes 3 weeks to make or break a habit. 3 weeks. They make mention in the book that when you move into a new house, for the first 3 weeks, people always complain about being tired. One of the reasons they're tired is because they have to think about everything they're doing. Where is the light switch? Where do I plug this in? How does this garbage disposal all work? Everything has to go through your conscious instead of your subconscious. In about 3 weeks of living in the house, you know where pretty much everything is, and it's not as much a drain on you physically. 3 weeks of fasting will change the way you think about things. It'll change the way you feel about food. It'll change the way you feel about your relationship to the Lord. It will do you good. I don't know of anybody who fasted and said, oh, that was the most horrible experience of my life. Some people said it wasn't what they expected. Others said it exceeded their expectations. So it all depends on you individually. So I want to encourage you to participate, to join with us. And let's say you're 5 days into the fast, and you walk by the pantry, and you hear that familiar voice, and it says, eat me. Whatever it is, it could be the chips, it could be the candy, it could be your favorite, favorite cookies, it could be any of those things. And so you go in and you eat it. And then you feel really, really bad. And you say, well, I broke my fast. What the heck? I'll just go ahead and, you know, go back to life as normal. No, don't do that. If you fall down, get up. David said, do not rejoice over me, O my enemies, because though I stumble and fall, I shall arise. So if you break the fast, don't give up. If you get to the point where you're hurting really, really bad and your body's screaming that you need to do something, eat something to sustain you so you can get past that hump and go on. Your body's a wonderful mechanism created by God to eat food. And you're depriving it of what it wants. The Daniel fast is good for you, but it's not what your body is used to. So you're gonna go through it. The biggest problem is between your cute little ears. It's your mind that'll tell you that you can't do this. It's your mind that'll give you more trouble than anything else. That's when you need to remember to worship the Lord. Remember that there are others who are going through the same struggle. So pray for one another. Think of somebody in the church that you know is fasting and pray for. Pray for me. Those of you who know me know, what is my least favorite fruit in the world? Greens. Anything green. If it's green, I hate it. I don't like green food. I don't like cabbage and, you know, broccoli and lettuce and beans. I don't like that food. I don't eat it if I don't have to. And I will be eating it. And I will be hating it. I'm not going into this fast, you know, thinking I'm going to love it. I'm going to hate it. I've hated it for the last 10 years that I've done it. But, you know, I've managed to make it through. So I'm like Mikey. If Mikey can do it, you can do it, all right? So let me encourage you to just give it a try, all right? And don't give up before you get started. So let me get into today's sermon and give you words of exhortation from Scripture. So, Jim, can you bring up my PowerPoint for me? The sermon title is Fasting, Praying, and Giving Can Change Your Plans. It can change your plans. And let's go to let me turn this on. The book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rent your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for the prophet Joel who wrote these words for us, and that you preserved them through the ages, and we might have them today to study. Teach us the things that we need to know in order to serve you better. Father, this is our plan, and this is our purpose. In Jesus' wonderful name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. The plans he has for us. Scripture says, I know the plans that I have for you to do good and not to harm you. So God's plans are good. Every plan that he has for you. There are two pathways before us, as our graphic shows. And let's kind of contrast them for a moment. There's a pathway to victory. Now, you can't have a victory without a battle. And you can't have a battle without an enemy. So who is your enemy? In this particular case, it's your stomach. It's King Tummy that wants to be in control of your life. Did you ever think about the fact that the original sin created, committed by Adam and Eve involved what? Food. Food. Who traded away his portion for for a bowl of porridge? Traded it away. Over and over again, you'll see that food is a big element that causes problems, all right? We need to eat, there's no question about it, but we need to decide who's in control, and the victory is going to be over your physical body, and then, of course, your archenemy, the devil himself, who will come along with all kinds of wonderful things. You will notice that 99 out of every 100 advertisements on TV are not medicine, they're food. And they all look good. Even those McDonald's hamburgers are going to start looking good to you. All right? Don't drive by Wendy's with the windows down. They're blowing that smell out. Stay away from the roadkill restaurant. They're blowing the smell out in the air to get your appetite going. Don't go to those places, all right? Because just the aroma, you're going to have a heightened sense of aroma. So in order to have the victory, you're going to have to fight your way into and through this thing. So the pathway of victory or the pathway of defeat? Defeat is just giving up. Don't even try it. Oh, Pastor Morris, you know, I'm way beyond that. You know, I'm a humpop Horatio person. You know, the blessings of God beyond measure. We're under grace, 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 grace. We don't have to do anything to make ourselves better. Say baloney. And can't eat baloney either, all right? So, that's not true. They fasted in the Old Testament. They fasted in the New Testament. Jesus received the complaint and said, how come you guys aren't fasting and everybody else is? He says, I'll tell you why. Because as long as I'm here, as long as the bridegroom is here, they don't need to fast. But when the bridegroom is gone, when I'm gone, they will fast. And so we do fast. It is a secret of the kingdom that has been locked away between the covers of our Holy Bible. And it's only recently that it's beginning to come to the forefront again. We're beginning to see the need for us to fast because of what it does for us. There's a pathway of joy and a pathway of sorrow. We can do things that give us joy or things that give us sorrow. If you will do this 21-day fast, we can have a great day of celebration right here. It's, you know, we do it every year. You will be joyful for several reasons. One, it'll be over. Okay? That'll give you joy in itself. The other is knowing that you've accomplished something that you didn't think was possible. To do what others won't do. You know what creates a champion? A champion is someone who's willing to do something that other people just won't do. You know, many times people will say, oh, well, you're just lucky. Well, I believe lucky is created through hard work, you know, preparing yourself and being at the right place at the right time. So you will receive joy. The sorrow is, if you don't join in, I will never say a word to you to berate you. You will berate yourself. Because you'll be here and when we're having our celebration, and you'll say, gee, I wish I would have done it. You have no idea how many people have come to me and said that. Gee, I wish I would have tried at least. Just give it a shot. Give it a try. All right. Historically, fasts were called for a lot of different reasons. All right? They were called when people needed the miracle. When they needed them, do you need a miracle? This is a good opportunity to fast. And bring it before the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. When people need healing, are you sick? Do you need healing? People fasted for healing. That's a good thing to do. In fact, not eating some of the food you've been eating will be healing in itself. Because the Daniel fast is healthy for you. Remember the story of Daniel? He wouldn't eat the king's meal. He wanted to eat what he wanted to eat. And they said, no, you got to eat what the king wants. He said, I'll make you a deal. Let me eat what I'm eating, then check me out against everybody else and see who's the healthiest. You know the story. He ate his meal, which was the Daniel fast, and as a result, he was healthier than the others of the king's servants who ate the king's meal. So it's healthy for you. It will be good for you. It'll bring you healing. When you need direction, I don't know what to do. I need direction right now in some things. You know, I'm sure, I know some of you do. You know, what should I do? Where should I go? How should I? Just all those decisions you're dealing with. They passed it in the Bible for direction. So that's a good thing to pass for. What about your finances? Sometimes if you've got too much money, you don't know what to do with it. All right? This is a good thing to do, to fast. And I can hear God saying, give it to the church. You know, but no, that was me. That wasn't the Lord saying that. That was like in the flesh. But you know, your finances are short. You need finances for a particular thing. So finances are a good thing. And one of the biggest is the one that we're addressing more than anything else is when you need to return to God. We all get spiritually rusty. And we have intellectual assent as to who we are in Christ, but we don't always feel that way. We sometimes think God has moved to the other side of the universe. You know, He's somewhere else. Well, that's why fasting is good, because it makes you aware. It peels back like an onion. It just peels back the layers so that it's a poor analogy, but the fragrance of God will come through again in your life. You will sense the nearness of God. Now, I have to confess that I have cheated on this fast. I actually have started at Thanksgiving of peeling away some of the layers of my life. I just did it. Well, I had a good reason. I was sick. And so I thought, well, why waste a good sickness? I decided to put it to spiritual use. I couldn't eat the way I normally would eat. So I decided, well, I'm not going to eat that stuff. And some of you, as they say down south, bless your pea-picking hearts. You love me so much. And at Christmas, you gave me more junk to eat. And I'm just not going to do it, all right? I've just got, you know, some of it I got stashed for another day. But I've given up my favorite food on the planet, and that is chocolate. You know, I will do you harm to get a piece of your Hershey bar, all right? You know, but I decided to do that. I quit my in-between meal treats that I like to engage in. So I just started getting myself ready. So I'm actually kind of ahead of you in that respect, but I'm still here and I'm alive, you know, by doing that. So, and it's helped me focus on the Lord. I went back to writing a journal, which I haven't done in quite some time, and just listening to the Lord and writing some things down, and it's just been a blessing to me. So let me encourage you in that you will peel back the fleshly layers, and you will sense the presence of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Where is God right now? He's right here. He's here, all right? You don't have to go. You're not going to rediscover God. He's not like He was lost and now He's found, all right? It's just that we're not sensitive, and we become acutely aware of God when we're doing spiritual things. Remember, we're fasting and praying and giving. So you need to have prayer as a regular part of this whole endeavor. Take some time. Take 5 minutes if that's all you can do. In the morning, in the evening, whenever you can. Oh, let me give you a little encouragement or something that I discovered. Y'all know a lot of you like Womack. What's his first name?
Andrew.
I was going to say David. I knew that wasn't right. Andrew Womack, Billy Graham, Jensen Franklin, David Jeremiah. I think those are the main ones. They all have something really neat. They have short daily devotionals. So if you're an internet person, just go to their websites and you can read their daily devotions. I started doing that, and boy, these guys are great. I mean, they write really good words of exhortation. So I'd encourage you doing that. Just go to those websites. In fact, let me give you the ones I have. I've mentioned them. Let's see if I can do this without getting lost. There we go. Here we go. Andrew Womack, Rick Warren, that's another good one. Rick Warren wrote The Purpose-Driven Life and The Purpose-Driven Church. Billy Graham, Charles Stanley, really good devotionals from him. And then David Jeremiah, those are the ones I picked. There are others, but they're just words of just encouragement for you. Just to read what they have to say on a daily basis, okay? All right, let me get back to where I was. Okay, so what effect will this fast have on you? There are three options. None. It can have no effect on you. And that will happen if you don't believe fasting is relevant for today. I have some good, really good Christian brothers and sisters who believe fasting is not for us today. I disagree with them. And you may feel that way, and I disagree with you, all right? Because I think I've got plenty of good scriptural ammunition to do it. And you know, let's just assume for a minute that the impossible happened and I'm wrong. It's still not going to hurt you anything to do it, okay? It'll do you good, all right? So if the only way you don't get any benefit is if you decide I'm not going to do it. And some of you already made that decision. It's my job to change your mind. All right, that's what I'm trying to do today, to encourage you. The other thing that might happen is you might get some benefit from it. You'll get as much out of this as you put into it. You know, if you make up your mind, by gosh and by gum, I'm going to just go into this thing full bore. It's going to be different than if you say, okay, I'm going to give up. Well, it probably do you good to give up Fox News for 21 days, but that's not the point. It's got to do with FOOD, food. And so, and then some of you will get the third option, which is you get a lot of benefit from it. And that's if you take it seriously and you really put yourself into it, you will derive benefit from it. Fasting is not about changing God. Fasting is about changing you. Remember, I've said this countless times. If you'll change the way you think about something, you'll change what you believe about something. And when you change what you believe about something, you'll change the way you act. All right? So change the way you think, change what you believe. When you change what you believe, it'll change the things that you do. So if you've got a hard and fast affinity against fasting, let me encourage you to rethink that and think about. Pick up Jensen Franklin's book. You will not read Jensen Franklin's book without agreeing to fast. He's got all kinds of great stories, biblical evidence that'll encourage you to fast. So either one of those two books that I mentioned. In fact, he's got a new one out. Oh, and you can go to Jensen Franklin's website. He's got a lot of free stuff there. You can Google about fasting. You'll find lots of people writing stuff. Some of the social media, what do they call that thing? Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. There'll be, as they say, a plethora of information, all right? Now, remember, I said this before. I want to repeat it again. Don't be legalistic about this. Do what you can. but do something and do it wholeheartedly. All right? And don't shortchange yourself. So let's look at a couple of things about fasting that I want to bring to your mind. Your path to revival requires a return. I did that on purpose because it requires a re. Sometimes you got to return and return and return, all right? So in Joel 2:12-13, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. Return to you with what? This is a matter of the heart. You know, that innermost being of yours. God loves you. James Barron, our friend who preaches here quite often, said, what we need to know is that God loves us with all of his heart, all of his mind, all of his soul, all of his spirit, and all of his being. And he loves your neighbor as much as he loves you. Right? That's a matter of the heart. And we need to remember that. That God loves you. His thought. The psalmist said that God's thoughts towards us are like the grains of sand on the seashore. And all of his thoughts towards us are good. Think about that. Dwelling on those kinds of things help your heart, your spiritual heart. Knowing that God's thinking about you, you're not going to be alone. God is on your side. He's encouraging you in this endeavor. Come to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. If you got to weep, some tears might do you good. You know? If you need to mourn over the things that you've been wasting in a portion of your life. All right? Rent your heart and not your garments. Again, it's a heart thing. It's the innermost sanction of your life that God wants to deal with. In Matthew 5:6, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The emptiness you often experience in your spiritual life is a direct reflection on your hunger for the righteousness of God. The psalmist said, as a deer pants after the water brook, so my soul longs for thee. Now, I understand, being a preacher of the grace of God, I understand that it's not anything you're going to do that's going to make God love you anymore or love you any less. All right? This is about you, not about God. It's about your relationship with him. We live in a fallen world. Pat and I were talking just yesterday, I believe it was. We heard something on the TV, and we thought, oh my God, are these people crazy? And we said, it just vexed our soul. And your soul is being vexed. You're being pounded through every media imaginable with all kinds of negative things. And what you need to do is move away from that into the arena of the kingdom of God. We live in this parallel universe. We live in the kingdom of God as we live in the world. So to focus on the kingdom instead of the world will help us. That'll change our conscious thoughts about God. Too much time spying our own worldly desires gives us, we're like the Tin Man in the Wizard of Oz who cried tears and he gets rusty. We're crying tears of this world, and we're getting rusty. So we need to get some Holy Ghost oil squirted on us to loosen up our joints. David said, restore to me, O God, the joy of my salvation. You know, sometimes we need to get back to square one. Vince Lombardi, the great football coach, was coaching. And everybody knew what Vince Lombardi was going to do on the field. Everybody knew he was going to do the Green Bay sweep. He was going to the right or he was going to the left. And everybody knew it. And he did it successfully year after year after year. That was his playbook. Every once in a while he'd throw a pass, but he said, when you throw a pass, only three things can happen, and two of them are bad. Think about that. It could be an interception or an incomplete. You know, only a you know, success is the one that works. And what he did was he taught his team the fundamentals of football. That's what he worked on, the basic fundamentals of football. To use that analogy for us, the fundamentals of our spiritual walk is our salvation. Who are we in Christ? To begin to focus on that again. To think about where were we and what God did in our lives to bring us to where we are. The great salvation that we have. To be set free from our sins. To be focusing on that, that we're not under the bondage of this world anymore. We're not a slave to sin anymore. We are slaves to Christ. Go read those books in the Bible that are good books of exhortation. Read the book of Ephesians, the book of Philippians. You know, read it over and over again, the book of Colossians. These words will encourage you. Go read the Psalms. They're words of encouragement. Read things that will build you up. Don't go read the prophets. Don't go read Jeremiah. Don't go read Isaiah. For heaven's sakes, don't read Job. I hate to say some parts of the Bible are not as good as others, but for our purposes to build ourselves up, read things in the Scripture that will build you up on your most holy faith, all right? The two key words in the Scripture that are up here on the screen are hunger and thirst. Now, hunger is a basic signal to your stomach that you need fuel. If you're hungry, your body needs fuel. The problem with us is we eat when we're not hungry. We eat to satisfy our tongues and our appetites, not to satisfy our basic needs. So hunger tells us that we need fuel. Thirst is a signal that you're in trouble. My private nurse here told me that when I was not doing well, to drink lots of liquids because I needed to keep hydrated. I'm not a big water drinker, but I was drinking water in order to keep myself hydrated. So if you're thirsty, if you feel thirsty, you're already in trouble. So you should keep your body hydrated so that you're not feeling thirsty all the time. Okay. We're not physically hungry when three things happen. If you're full, when you finish the turkey dinner, you were not hungry anymore. In fact, the last thing you wanted to think about was food. You probably said something like, I'll never eat again. You know, after you finished off the last piece of pumpkin pie or whatever your favorite might be. If you're sick, one of the benefits of me being sick for a couple of weeks is I couldn't eat. And because I couldn't eat, I lost some weight. And I had to go to the doctor. And the first words out of the doctor's mouth when he walked in my his waiting room, a little room, whatever they call that, where they work on you. And he said, wow, you've lost 8 pounds. And he was happy. You know? So when you don't eat, oh, because you're sick. So you won't eat if you're busy. If you haven't been so busy, I know a lot of the guys can tell you this, you get so busy working that you don't think about eating. All right? And when your mind is conscious on that, that's in the physical realm. In the spiritual realm, you're not hungry or thirsty when we're filled with God's presence. When you're not longing for something to happen because it's already happening. You're feeling good about your relationship with the Lord. If you're spiritually sick, you won't want more of God. God becomes a low priority when you're spiritually sick. I don't need to read the Bible. You don't have to read the Bible. You don't have to. You go to heaven without reading the Bible. But you won't get the spiritual nourishment that you need. That's what you need to Scripture. I don't want to go to church. I've heard that one-armed pastor preach enough, you know. Well, then find a two-armed pastor and go listen to him. But you need someplace for somebody to exhort the word for you. Some folks say, well, I can just read my Bible and I don't have to go to church. Well, somebody should have told that to Jesus, because he's the guy who started this whole idea of not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together is the manner of some is. We're to come together to encourage one another, to sing songs together, psalms, scriptures, provoking one another to good work. We need each other. You know what? I'm encouraged every time I come to church to be around you guys. And when you're not here, I know you're not here. Unfortunately or fortunately, the church is so small, when somebody's not here, I know who's not here. I get encouraged by being around you. So if you're spiritually sick, you're not going to want spiritual food. Now, if you're busy with our chosen lifestyle, just chasing after the world, you won't be looking for spiritual things. So there's something wrong with us, primarily, if we're not in a good relationship with the Lord. We haven't been doing some of the things that we need to do. The call by God is for His people to come back. It says it up there in the wall. You know, come home, all is forgiven. Come home, all is forgiven. That's the cry of God through the ages for His people to come near to Him. Jesus looked over Israel and Jerusalem and He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not come. And that's what happens to us. We just won't go where the food is, where we can get healthy nourishment for our spirit. So, in this new year, we're going to return on the pathway to His presence in your life. I'm not going to ask you for a show of hands because I know I'd get 100%, but wouldn't you all like to have a closer relationship with the Lord?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like to feel like, man, things are going good? You know, we have that sense of Him being there. It's not that He's not. It's just that we lose that sense. Return to the pathway of victories in our lives instead of failures. How's about we start winning for a change instead of losing? You know? That we start hearing from God. There's a thing theologians call the interbiblical period between the last prophet who wrote in the Old Testament and the first writings of the New Testament was a several hundred year period. And they say that during that period of time, there was no word from God. Can you imagine going 400 years without hearing from God? That He didn't have anything to say? Until the angels started showing up and talking to Mary and, what was his name, Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband? Hearing from God again. Hearing that Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice. Do you know God's voice? Do you know it's God speaking to you? And not just, you know, some mindless thought that came into your brain? You can know the difference. There is a vast difference. So we're going to return to that sort of pathway where you can hear God speaking. Okay? Y'all got that?
Yes.
Do I need to stop or can I go on? You're heading up, I'll quit. All right. No, I won't. I just said that to be funny. Your pathway to victory requires a return. So for victory, Joel, we just read this. Declare a holy fast. Not a fast, but a holy fast. This is not a diet. This is a holy. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. You're the sacred assembly. You and 500,000 other people. We're assembling ourselves together. Some of the elders, that would be me. Some of you are pretty elder yourself. Some of the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. Boy, I tell you what an admonition, huh? The world is languishing in pain and doesn't know that there's a better way. This is a better way. One of the things Brother Bob talked about, he's got a heart for trying to do something about the epidemic of suicide in St. Tammany Parish and trying to get churches and people to fast, believing that fasting will help us because it sharpens us and people. One of the most horrible stories that I've heard lately is that a teenager who was in church serving God, committed suicide. Doesn't fit my pattern at all. And I don't know the family, and I don't know what happened, but I would like to know. But I know one of the things that can save you from depression and save you from thoughts of doing harm to yourself is fasting, praying, and staying in the Scriptures, keeping yourself sharp. Be around. The Scriptures talk about iron sharpens iron, sharpening one another. And this is a place that we can do that. It's the pathway to victory is for us to cry out again. In the, I just want to read through this little list quickly. The poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of God. Those who mourn, they'll be comforted. The meek shall inherit the earth. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be satisfied. The mercy shall obtain mercy. The poor in heart shall see God. The peacemakers, they will be called the children of God. Those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, theirs is the kingdom of God. That's a whole litany of things that we can have victory in by living that kind of a life. Crying out involves a sacred assembly and fasting together. We are fasting together. We are joining ourselves together here to do something as a group. Could you fast and pray by yourself? Sure you can. I've done that, and I'm sure many of you have too. But there's something special about doing it together as a group. If for no other reason, if I'm miserable, I know somebody else is miserable too. You know, that gives me great courage, you know, to know that. There is a sense of belonging that does us good. There's some psychologists on a college campus decided to do an experiment. And this was their experiment. They got college kids and they gave them some bad news. Could have been about their grades, it could have been about other things. Just gave them some bad news. And they told them to go sit in the room that they had prepared. In the room was nothing but chairs going around the outside perimeter of the room. So the first one went in and sat down. They did the same thing with the second one. They gave them some bad news, and they let them go in. That person went and sat next to the other person. The fact is that everybody they gave bad news to all went and sat in the same area. You know why? Because we take comfort from one another, especially in times of sorrow, times of pain. So it's good for us to gather together and do something together. We don't live in a vacuum. We need one another. We need to know one another. We're the imagery of a shepherd and sheep is a perfect example. Sheep tend to stay together. It's rare when a sheep will walk off somewhere on his own. That's why the shepherd is there to go get them and to bring them back into the fold so that we stay close to one another. The closer you stay to one another in the church, the less likely the probability of you suffering a major spiritual setback. Because you'll have somebody, see, I know most of you pretty well now. Let me pick on Becky, because she's easy to pick on. She is an open book. You can read Becky's face and know what's going on in her life. I mean, even I can do it, all right? And that's a good thing. But I know her because I've been around her enough that I know that. And sometimes I'll see Becky and say, "How you doing, Becky?" She said, "Oh, I'm doing fine." And I said, "You really?" And she said, "No." You know, to fess up. You know people well enough, you can do that. Are you okay? You know? And so that helps one another. We encourage one another. We know each other. That's what sheep do. Fasting together makes us aware together of the presence of God. So that collectively, we're going to do better as a flock. Fasting together prepares you for spiritual warfare. Just because you decide to fast don't think you're going to skate through this. Your enemy, who has desires to trip you up whenever he can, will do their best to trip you up. You will never be as hungry as you will be tomorrow morning. You will never want that fried eggs and bacon and sausage and pancakes and IHOP. You see the latest thing? They got an IHOP. The plane lands at IHOP for them to get to their pancakes. I mean, tomorrow morning's going to be hell. You know, it's going to be there. It's going to want you to do something. Your nemesis is going to do everything he can to trip you up. So the way you make plans to get away from that is forewarned, is forearmed. To know that when you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you do? Not go to the pantry. The first thing you do is go to your knees. Lay in bed and pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to fast. I know Pastor Morris is going to have a hard day today because he's going to have to eat things that he hates, something green. And you know, Tommy, I hate it. So pray for me if you can't do anything else. You know, but be aware that things will come along just to trip you up. In fact, something will probably come up to make you want to worry about something. And so when you worry, what's one of the best things we do to comfort ourselves? Food. Trying to find something to comfort ourselves. We comfort our tummies. That's what happens to people who are addicted to food. We are addicted to food. So know that your arch enemy is against you. This prepares you for spiritual warfare. One of the good ways to wake up in the morning is to dress yourself in the full armor of God. Put on that helmet of salvation. Imagine yourself doing it. You know, go through the motion. The breastplate of righteousness, the belt of the girdle of truth. You know, put on those shoes of the gospel. You know, pick up the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God. Pick up the shield to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. Dress yourself for battle, because it will be warfare. The enemy doesn't want you to do this. He'll do his best to trip you up. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to give you information, all right? So you've got your body to worry about, and you've got your enemy that will come against you. We're going to do three things together. It's a threefold cord. We're going to fast, we're going to pray, and we're going to give. Now, for years, I didn't put the third part of that, and I realized that I was purposely ignoring something. Those of you who know me know I hate to talk about money. I mean, we don't even pass the collection basket around here. You want to give, it's on the back wall. It's me, it's not you, it's me. I'm just a little weird about it. But I realized that I was robbing you of an opportunity to give. And so on the last day of the fast, a celebration, we're going to receive a special offering. And just to make it joyful, we will dance. We'll get some peppy music going. We're going to dance. We're going to come down and put the money in the basket. It's going to be a great event, all right? So that's the third chord to this thing. And where did I get that chord from? From the book of the Bible called Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, when you fast, when you pray, and when you give, what does that declare? It's a presupposition that you will do it. Okay? So we will do these three things through this next 21 days. I don't know where I got this from. It doesn't sound like I originally would have said it, but it's in my notes, so I must have said it. You are fearsome when you put down your spoon, fall on your knees, and empty your wallet. All right? That's good. I don't know where that came from. You are fearsome when you put down your spoon, fall on your knees, and empty your wallet. All right? That's fasting, praying, and giving. So we're going to do that. So in the next 3 weeks, we'll have an opportunity to do all three. The fast is a Daniel fast. Now, you're not limited to that. I mean, if you want to, you know, take 3 days and do water or just liquids, knock yourself out. It takes about 3 days to get really in the swing of this. you will have discomfort. I'm not going to lie to you. Your stomach's going to hurt, going to growl, probably get headaches. But after 3 days, that'll go away. It's amazing. It's just like a switch gets thrown. 3 days, and then you're in your groove, and things get easier. So we're going to fast. We're going to pray each Wednesday at what time?
7 o'clock.
Is that in the morning or evening?
Evening.
Okay, thank you. Can you pray at 7 o'clock in the morning?
Yes.
Yes. You can come here to the church and pray at 7 o'clock in the morning. I won't be here, but you can come. Okay? So, and you can give the last day of the week. Start praying now about what God would have you give. I promise you, none of it goes to me. All right? So I'm not trying to get a raise or anything else. Whatever you give will go to the work of the church and our radio station. So I'd encourage you to join me and others in this adventure. Stay in touch. Send me emails. Let me know how you're doing. If you get a breakthrough on day one, let me know. Or day 21, let me know. Keep me informed. If you're struggling, let me know. And I'll share some of that. I won't necessarily use your name if you tell me not to. So that's the plan for the fasting. Have I encouraged you this morning? You think this is a good thing? You think you can do this? Uh-huh. Are you worried? Yeah. Just the best thing to do, two things, is you go through the fast, concentrate on God, and pray for me, knowing that I'm going to be struggling right along with you. Or pray for your husband or your wife or your friend or whoever it is here. And encourage some other people to do it. You might know some people that you think would do well. You can get a copy of this. You can go listen to it on the internet, watch the video, and they can see my sweet face expounding upon it. And next week, we'll be talking some more about fasting, but in a little bit different area of some other things. I can preach on this for a long, long time. So with that said and done, let's all stand. That'll be easier in 3 weeks. You won't have to pick up as much. Hey, just the facts, Jack. I'm just trying to help you. Some of you are going to be looking in the mirror and say, who is that in that mirror? Looking so skinny in that mirror. But mostly you'll be looking in the mirror and seeing a reflection of the Lord Jesus. You know, as that gets polished in your system. So be of good cheer. If you're having a problem, contact me, let me know, and I'll encourage you as best I can. And if you got any questions, let me know. But Jetson Franklin's book is the best source, or his website. They got all kinds of videos and stuff. You can go to YouTube, you can see Jetson Franklin, who's a fair to middle preacher. He's got lots of stuff on YouTube about this very subject. So I encourage you to do that. Okay? Oh, tell us, Bob. Make the announcement.
Every day, 21 days, we'll be having the regular prayer and fasting devotional read by Bobby Morales. Mm. And it'll be different every day. So at 8:45 in the morning, 11:30 in the morning, and 4:30 in the afternoon, you can hear Bobby reading the devotional today with you. So it'll be an auditory encouragement that somebody that you know is reading right along with you. It's the same devotion that Pastor Marsh has put out.
So what time is that, Bob?
8:45.
11:30.
And 4:30.
Normal
snack time.
Yes. And that is on what radio station?
This is Grace Radio
103.7. Grace Radio 103.7 FM. And this is the greatest radio station in Slidell, is it not?
It is.
Absolutely the greatest one. I encourage you to listen to it. There's a lot of good things. In fact, if you're not listening to the Grace Radio, let me encourage you to do it. A lot of good stuff. Most of the music you'll like. Some of it you won't. But that's just the way it is. And we can't please everybody all the time. But great programs. Bob has a program called Voices. It's on, what time are you on, Bob?
10 and 3.
10 and 3, 6 days a week. really good interviews that Bob does with people in our community, from just regular folks to high-level politicians, all right? And just really, really good. I really encourage you to listen to that. And, of course, I'm on there with Grace Thoughts. I don't even know when I'm on. I'm on all the time. I listen. And listen to the news if you want to hear the local news, read by Ron Usner. Ron comes on at 8, 12, and 5. Bob knows more than I do. That's why I keep him around. 8, 12, and 5, you can hear the news read by Ron Usner. Does a really, really, really great job. So there's a lot of good things going on our station. It's not just music. There's a lot of good things. So with that said, Brother Bob, since you did all the talking anyway, why don't you dismiss us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you that in Matthew chapter 6, Lord, you gave us the direction to pray and to fast and to give. And Father, as we embark on this journey together, Lord, we pray that the power of your Holy Spirit would be within each one of us.
Yes, Lord, yes.
Give us the courage to do that which will help us to hear better from you.
Yes.
To set aside the things of the world, to conquer this this physical man that wants to always take dominance and let the spiritual man dominate for these 21 days.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, help everyone in the hearing of our voice today, Lord, to be able to make the commitment that will bring us closer to you, and to be able to hear from you, your plans for 2018, that we may march with you and do the things that you would have us to do. We love you, Lord. We're so grateful for all of your blessings. Lord, we're grateful for everyone who calls themselves by your name.
Yes.
And we ask you for your blessing in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, one, the fast starts today after lunch. So just make it a long lunch, eat as much as you can, because the hammer's going to drop when you put the fork down, all right? Because that's where we're going to start. And the reason for that is because we're going to end our fast before lunch on Sunday the 26th, I think it is, all right? 28th, okay. So that's when we're going to end the fast, and we'll have communion, and we'll do that there. All right, one other item of business.